From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message with the title, Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4. I will love them freely. This sentence is a body of divinity in miniature. He who understands its meaning is a theologian, and he who can dive into its fullness is a true master in Israel. It is a condensation of the glorious message of salvation which was delivered to us in Christ Jesus our Redeemer. The sense hinges upon the word freely. This is the glorious, the suitable, the divine way by which love streams from heaven to earth, a spontaneous love flowing forth to those who neither deserved it, purchased it, nor sought after it. It is indeed the only way in which God can love such as we are. The text is a death blow to all sorts of fitness. I will love them freely. Now, if there were any fitness necessary in us, then He would not love us freely. At least, this would be a mitigation and a drawback to the freeness of it. But it stands, I will love you freely. We complain, Lord, my heart is so hard. I will love you freely. But I do not feel my need of Christ as I could wish. I will not love you because you feel your need. I will love you freely. But I do not feel that softening of spirit which I could desire. Remember, the softening of spirit is not a condition, for there are no conditions. The covenant of grace has no conditionality whatever. So that we, without any fitness, may venture upon the promise of God, which was made to us in Christ Jesus, when He said, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. It is blessed to know that the grace of God is free to us at all times, without preparation, without fitness, without money, and without price. I will love them freely. These words invite backsliders to return. Indeed, the text was specially written for such. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Backslider, surely the generosity of the promise will at once break your heart, and you will return and seek your injured father's face.
Consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. When through the woods and forest ways I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly. Savior.
And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As the army of Israel stood ready to attack the city of Jericho, there had been several divinely appointed delays, part of the spiritual preparation for the battle. Now Joshua was given instructions that must have come as a shock to a seasoned soldier. Rather than launch a straightforward attack, Joshua was commanded by God to have the army march around the city in absolute silence once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around it 7 times and then to shout. This was not man's way to wage war, but it was God's way. Since Joshua was a man of faith as well as a military leader, He knew that God's way would lead to victory. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, God's work must be done in God's way. This applies to worship. In His Word, God has laid down the requirements for acceptable worship. This runs quite contrary to many of the man-devised efforts at worship that are popular in many circles today. The Lord has said, "I will be sanctified in them that draw nigh to me." Now, here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of a message called Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare.
The Lord has laid it down how He wants His work to be done. You remember when He gave to Moses the plan of the tabernacle in Mount Sinai, Exodus 25, verse 40. And this is something that's referred to again and again. The Lord said to Moses, "Look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Moses was not given the slightest room for what the world calls creativity. The entire tabernacle worship, down to the smallest tent peg, was ordained of God, was designed of God. And that design and that pattern was given to Moses. And God told him, "Moses, give attention to this and make everything according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount." The same thing was true when it came to the building of what is commonly called Solomon's Temple. It could as easily be called David's Temple. Solomon actually did the building, but David did all the work of preparation. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." The same is true in Ezekiel's temple. It's a very thorny passage of Scripture, Ezekiel 40 to 48. Very thorny passage of Scripture. I have my own theories as to what that tabernacle or that temple refers to. Whatever your view of that temple, one thing, every detail of its pattern was given by the Lord, was not left to the ingenuity or the inventiveness of man. And that truth holds good for every part of the church's worship, warfare, and service. We read this morning in Psalm 144 in verse 1, "It is the Lord who teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight." In Deuteronomy 12:32, the Lord says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Now that is true in the church's worship. Without getting too far afield, I remind you that there are two, in Protestantism, there are two basic views about what is allowable in worship. There is the view of Martin Luther, taken over by the Anglicans or the Episcopalians, that anything that is not expressly forbidden in Scripture is allowable as a ceremony, as a rite, as an addition or help to worship, so long as it's not in defiance of a plain statement of Scripture or in contradiction of a plain teaching of the gospel, it is allowable. Martin Luther held that very strongly, and that's why Lutheranism sought to reform the doctrine of the Church of Rome, but was willing to carry over many of the practices and the vestments of the Church of Rome into Protestant worship. However, the Reformed churches held to what was called the regulative principle, that the Word of God regulates, the Word of God sets down in order what is to be included in His worship. Now, as our Confession of Faith points out, not every detail of every single thing is given in the Word of God. You're not told in the Word of God what time your church service should be at. You're not told in the Word of God how often you should sing in church services. how often you should pray, how many verses of Scripture you should read, how long the sermon should be. I know that some of you think the Bible in Acts that it should be shorter than I believe. But those are details that are not given to us in Scripture. The Confession of Faith rightly points out that these are things that must be judged in the light of nature. What William Cunningham, a great Scottish theologian, said was the use of common sense in the light of the general rules and principles of the Word of God. For instance, you are not given in Scripture any command to have a Sunday school. For that reason, some Scottish Presbyterians very strongly opposed it. Dr. Kidd of Aberdeen strongly, I would say even venomously, opposed the introduction of Sunday schools because they're not commanded in the Word of God. There are even some people in Presbyterianism in America today, and they're trying to get back to Dr. Kidd's view. But it is a principal truth in the Word of God that God's people should teach their children. It is also a principal truth in the Word of God that the children have a very vital connection with the church. And the church has a teaching mission. It is no breach of that truth or that principle to bring those children together and teach them in the things of God. That's part of the church's teaching ministry. It's not commanded in so many words, have a Sabbath school. But nonetheless, it is eminently scriptural to have one. The Confession of Faith, I think, gets that right. But let's understand this, that the worship of the church is regulated by Scripture. The worship of the church must be according to what is laid down either in direct command or by necessary consequence of what is taught in the Word of God. Man's attempts to invent new ways of worship, new ways of serving God, are not mere innocent innovations. The Word of God condemns them. The Word of God says, for instance, in Colossians 2, verse 23, that such things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Some things men invent appear to be very beneficial. People have brought things into the worship of God in the church. They say, we have a new generation, we must have a new way. You have this taking place all across America. Churches have turned into theaters. They have drama. They're putting on situation plays taken from the everyday world to get across a moral message. They have rock operas, rock concerts. You've got to talk to the world in the medium of today. That's the thinking. That's the innovation. But when you come to Scripture and ask them, show me in God's Word the basis for that, they tell you, well, it works. Well, of course, that's open to question. Very, very seriously open to question. I would strongly deny, ultimately, that, quote, it works. Paul says there are things which have a show of wisdom. In will worship, they are the inventions of the will. But as Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 7, howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. It's true in worship. It's also true in service. Men have come up with multiplied ways of making converts. They have come up with every psychological gimmick for getting people to make decisions for Christ. They have even got to the place, believe it or not, where they can prophesy how many people are going to make decisions next year. I have heard preachers say, next year we are, not we're praying for, not we're trusting God to see, but next year, by these methods, we are going to see X number of decisions for Christ. New ways of serving. Oh, the inventiveness of man is great. But when it starts obtruding itself into the service of God, it comes under the condemnation of God. God has laid down the way He wants His work to be done. And the elements in that way of working are plain. If you look at the portion of Scripture, you'll notice these verses present the timeless method of the Lord. He says, compass the city, sound the trumpets, and carry the ark around the city. That reminds me of Psalm 105, verse 1, where you've got the same three elements. Give thanks unto the Lord. That's the first thing. Call upon His name. That's the second thing. Make known His deeds. That's the third thing. Compass the city. That's prayer. When you're calling on the name of your God, you're walking around, you're surrounding the obstacle, compassing it about with prayer. The trumpets are the praise, giving thanks unto the Lord. The ark is bearing Christ before the people. That is making known His deeds. This is the timeless method. Prayer and praise and preaching. Now, God has never changed those. Those are the things He has laid down in His Word. And yet, you know, those are the things which are most conspicuous by their absence in the witness of the modern church. Prayer, praise, and preaching. Notice very particularly the emphasis upon a Christ-exalting witness. At the heart of this entire procession, what was there? There was the ark of God. Hold up the ark. And the priest bearing the ark in the sight of the men of Jericho, round about the city, every day for 6 days. Then 7 times on the 7th day. That ark is the picture of Jesus Christ. I don't want to take time in Scripture typology this morning. But study it carefully. You'll find that ark is the picture of Christ. It's the picture of Christ's humanity, Christ manifested in the flesh. Where was the holy law of God kept entire and unbroken? Inside the ark. God gave Moses the 2 tables of the law on 2 occasions. The first time, they were broken in the hand of Moses. The second time, they were placed entire, complete in the ark. Where is the law of God perfectly kept? In Christ and in Christ alone. Over the ark there was the mercy seat. Christ our mercy seat. Paul actually calls Him that. He is Christ our mercy seat. Covering the law of God. Satisfying the law of God, having kept it in His life, satisfying it in His propitiatory death. And I use that word because the word "the propitiatory" is just an anglicized form of the Greek idea for the mercy seat. This is Christ, this ark. Christ in His life of obedience. Christ in His death of atonement. Christ, the satisfier of God. Christ, the reconciler of His people. Christ, the justifier. Christ, the redeemer. Christ, the Savior. Christ, the Almighty. That is the message of the ark. And they are told, carry the ark. This is a Christ-exalting witness. And I want to tell you, that is always at the heart of God's way of doing His work. Anything that drives us away from a Christ-centered witness is not of God. Lo and behold, that's the very thing that has happened in the church today. Everything and anything is good enough to take the place of a Christ-centered witness. I heard a preacher just yesterday preaching his way through. I only heard him for a few minutes, so I'm not going to be very critical. But I heard him preach his way through some verses in Colossians chapter 2. You are complete in Christ. And I was rather encouraged that he was using that portion of Scripture. And I thank God that he was. And he was giving his people some important truth. But as I listened, I realized the man hasn't the ghost of an idea of the real heart of the passage. He never did get to the objective righteousness of Christ imputed to the people of God. Never did get to that. Never even referred to it. Didn't enter into his thinking. Listen. Anything that misses that is missing the gospel. It's missing the gospel. Today, the Christ-centered witness is almost non-existent in most churches.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.